Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
In 2023, Threshold, the housing charity, helped over 18,000 households. 40% of those who contacted the organisation had received a notice of termination. Now I'm joined by Anne-Marie O'Reilly, who's the National Advocacy Manager at Threshold. If you've any questions for Anne-Marie, you can still send us a text, 51551. Good morning, Anne-Marie.
Morning.
I know it's been a busy time for Threshold, going by those statistics that I just told people about. Tell us about the types of calls in the main that you're seeing at the moment in 2024.
So what we're seeing right now is that at least half of the people getting in touch with us are worried about the security of their tenancy, or they've already received a notice of termination from the landlord. And so that really is the big issue facing the clients coming to us at present, whereas a few years ago that might have only been about a third of our clients. And for those who've received the notice, in about two-thirds of the cases, the landlord has stated that they plan to sell the home.
Okay, that's the main reason.
Yeah.
And the notice periods then, I suppose it's always useful to let people know what the notice period should be.
So the minimum is 90 days. Now, that's in cases where, you know, there's been no wrongdoing on the tenant's part. You know, you're not being evicted for antisocial reasons or rent arrears. Just if the landlord decides, no, I want to end it, I'm selling or I'm moving in, it's 90 days is the minimum and 224 days is the max. Obviously, a landlord and a tenant can agree to longer than that if they wish, or if it suits the tenant maybe to move out a bit sooner and it suits the landlord, they can agree to it. But those are certainly the minimums that the landlord has to give.
Now, we hear people ask about the rules around the inspection of properties. So can the landlord arrive unannounced to inspect the rental property?
No, no, a landlord cannot do that. It would actually be a breach of the tenant's right to peaceful, quiet and exclusive occupation of the home. But the tenant and landlord can agree a time for the inspection to take place, because it is reasonable for the landlord to want to inspect the property.
Are there any specific rules around it, though, in terms of the length of notice?
No. The Act is not specific in that regard. So it's considered that the landlord needs to give reasonable notice, and obviously reasonable is quite subjective. But from our perspective in Threshold, you know, we would see, you know, at least 48 hours notice of, you know, I'd like to come around, I'd like to inspect the property, does this time suit? And obviously if it doesn't suit, the tenant as well would invite, said, you know what, it doesn't, how about in a day or two after, and to find a time you can agree on. The tenant cannot, they do have to find a time. They can't just keep putting the landlord off because they don't want the inspection to occur. So they do have to accommodate, reasonably accommodate.
And does the tenant have to be there while the inspection happens?
No, they don't have to be there, but that will have to be agreed. So if the tenant is happy enough to say, look, you know, I'm going to be at work, I won't be able to get home, work away yourself to the landlord, that's perfectly fine, but it does have to be agreed.
All right, here's one now about the deposit. Always an issue that can be contentious.
Yeah.
Can you ask what's classed as wear and tear when it comes to deposits? We left some marks on the wall. I would call them normal kids messing around marks. However, the landlord is saying that that will have to come out of our deposit.
So yeah, this can always be quite subjective, because the landlord, they cannot retain a deposit for what is classed as normal wear and tear. Now, when assessing whether something is normal wear and tear, the landlord does have to take into consideration the length of the tenancy and other reasonably foreseen matters. So, for example, if they let a home to a family with a number of young children for 5, 6, 7 years, well, it's reasonable for them to foresee there will be some marks on the wall. Things aren't going to look as fresh maybe as the day the family moved in. So they can't retain the deposit because of that. Now, if it's clear, however, that a child has been let run loose with magic markers on a regular basis and no attempt is made to clean it, that would be quite different. So it does come down to, I guess, what can be deemed reasonable. And if the landlord and tenant can't agree on that, the tenant would actually then have to go to the RTB to see about getting their deposit back. And an adjudicator from the RTB would then, I suppose, look at the evidence. So, you know, obviously we would always advise people when you move in somewhere, make sure you take photos of everything, note any damage that may already be in the property, make sure you have a list of items that were in the property, so that when it comes to the end of the tenancy, if there's a dispute over damage, well, you have the evidence. Well, this is what it looked like when I moved in. And an adjudicator will look at it then, and they will decide if that is reasonable or not.
Okay, but it's important to note that if you can't come to an agreement, the RTB is where you're going to end up with this, isn't it?
Yes, unfortunately, yes.
All right, this is another one. Can I ask about reasonable time periods for landlords to fix goods? So this person says, I waited for over 2 weeks to have a washing machine replaced. I don't think that's fair. We were using laundrettes and the likes to wash our clothes for our family. Do I have any recourse?
So again, there's no guidance in the Act as to what is a reasonable time period for repairs to be done. But you know, when we're advising renters who come to us, yes, we'd look at, well, what's urgent and needed straight away, maybe what's less urgent, or what can you know, maybe manage for a while. So, for example, a broken boiler where you've no heating or hot water, well, that's quite urgent, and you would expect that to be fixed in a matter of days. Now, granted, the landlord might try to get it fixed, but mightn't have a plumber available, but they really do have to be looking to get that done quite quickly. Something like a washing machine, particularly if you've got a number of children in the household, well, a week is probably the max that you can reasonably wait for something like that. It's similar with a cooker if it breaks. Now, a different household, maybe where there's less people, they might manage a little while longer. As to, you know, recourse, if the landlord isn't replacing it or isn't getting it fixed, and you know, you've done your back and forth with them, you've been in touch with them, well, I would suggest getting in touch with Threshold. We may be able to advocate on the person's behalf directly to the landlord if they wish, or if it really can't be resolved, then it is to the RTB. But it would be ideally things like that, the repair or replacement of a washing machine shouldn't really get that far. It is something the landlord's responsible for.
Yeah. Just listening to you though, Anne-Marie, I mean, it would be really helpful to have these rules set down in the Act, wouldn't it?
I suppose sometimes it does feel that way, but unfortunately I guess sometimes legislation just cannot be that prescriptive. And yeah, there is a lot of reasonable, and I suppose because these can be quite individual relationships between tenant and landlord, I guess there's a desire to encourage people to try and work it out as reasonable adults before having to resort to looking at the legislation.
Well, would it be a good idea for a tenant and a landlord to set these things out in the rental agreement?
It is possible, yes, that could be done at the beginning. Yeah, it is possible. I know myself from renting, and probably from a lot of other people, that's probably the last thing on your mind when you're sitting down to sign that rental agreement. But it could be something that someone could look at, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The rules then around the return of the deposit, like we've spoken about the scuffed walls and so on, but when is a landlord entitled to say, no, I'm keeping a portion or all of that deposit?
So I can give you some quite specific examples based on our experience. So you've broken the window, you know, and you've not fixed it. You know, when you moved out, you left the property, litter in the property, you know, unhygienic, maybe unsafe. Maybe something broke in the property at some point and you never reported it to the landlord and it actually got worse. Because as much as the landlord is obliged to fix things, you're also obliged to let them know when they're broken. So let's say something starts to leak and you go, oh, it's fine, and it gets worse and it gets worse and it gets worse. And then it's actually damaging the property. You know, the landlord could keep the deposit then. There's items missing. So you've been provided a home with the washing machine, the fridge freezer, the couch, the beds, and whatever else, and the landlord comes along and something's missing. Or if the bills are still in the landlord's name and you leave without paying. So those are all reasons that a landlord could retain part or all of the deposit.
But again, if there's a dispute over that can't be resolved, the RTB is where you're going to end up.
Unfortunately, that's the case, yes. And that can be a bit drawn out for people. And I suppose that's why we've been looking for a deposit protection scheme to be brought in, where it might be a little bit more straightforward. But ultimately, that if you can't figure it out between yourselves, you know, you can get in touch with us. We can maybe talk to the landlord as well and see, will that advocacy work? And if that point is not working, then it's to the RTB. Yeah.
All right, well, Anne-Marie, we'll leave it there for now, but very useful advice. And we'll, I'm sure, talk to Anne-Marie again at some point. Anne-Marie O'Reilly, who is National Advocacy Manager with Threshold.